And good morning, good afternoon, or whenever you're joining us, because here at Progressive Radio Network, we are the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and there's so many excellent shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. We are so happy to join you today and always. And one of the things that's so exciting about bringing you this show is the amount of feedback we get from our listeners and from truly all over the world. People, Facebook at naturalnurse.com, Facebook, and also go to our website, naturalnurse.com, where they can email. And of course, you can participate in so many classes that we have. We have a class coming up, which is called the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification Class. And that is a full course of four classes, or you can take just class number one, which is the basics of herbal medicine. Either one is fine. And both of them have CE credits. CE credits means if you have a professional license, such as a nurse practitioner, a midwife, an acupuncturist, a licensed massage therapist, then you get 18 credits for taking the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course. But you can take it for any reason. You don't have to get the credits. You can just take it for your own knowledge. Or you may be somebody who wants to add herbs to your professional life, and you actually do want to get a very well-recognized certification, which is called RH, that is Registered Herbalist. And that is granted through the American Herbalist Guild. But if you take the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course, all of that can be used towards your RH. It does not complete the RH, but it's useful towards the RH. So you have the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course, in which case you get a certificate that you could hang on your wall if you complete all the work, and it's on your journey of becoming an herbalist. Or perhaps you're already a very knowledgeable herbalist, but you have not gotten any kind of certification. Well, this would be something you could get. Or let's say you're just interested in herbs on any level to use medicinally for yourself and your family, or to understand more about human-plant communication, because we have a course in there about that as well. So these are all coming up. You can see them all on naturalnurse.com. And in fact, we have a class also coming up on fertility, natural support for self-control of our cycles. And that leads us into what we'll be discussing today with our guest, Sarah Clark, because Sarah Clark is a certified life coach with accreditation from the International Coaches Federation, and she's a health coach with training from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And she runs a fertility coaching program, which includes functional lab testing and supports couples to make diet and lifestyle changes that dramatically can improve the chances of a healthy pregnancy and a baby. And you can find out more by going to her website, which is FabFertile. That's FabFertile. And if any of you are health professionals, you can also take the Herbs for Fertility class that I am giving, and that offers CE credits for professionals. So there's a whole realm of education available to you. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm looking right at your website. It's beautifully laid out. And I would say people can go there and visit and learn a lot about what we're going to be talking about here.
Sure.
And also how you can get more involved with yourself in terms of improving what's going on with you if you are, let's say, a couple wanting to have a family. You know, there's first steps for that. So why don't you go back in time and tell us what led you to create your website and your specialty and focus in fertility?
Yeah, I had my own journey with fertility actually. So in my early 20s, I was always joking. I was having hot flashes. And it turns out that I was. At the time, I had irregular periods. My period came a couple times a year. I had, I started getting hot flashes. I had acne on my skin when in my teens I didn't have any acne at all. And I had a weird fungal rash on my chest and some yeast infections. And so at that point, because the periods were regular, I went to my OBGYN and was put on the birth control pill, which was a Band-Aid approach to that. It obviously, it regulated the periods, but falsely regulated them. And then had the goal of getting married at 25 and having the kids at 28. And so went and got married at 25. And then at 28, was still on the pill and came off the pill, and my periods were still irregular. So I went and saw my my OBGYN and was told that I had premature ovarian failure, which is the loss of function of the ovaries before the age of 40. And I remember her reaching up on her shelf and grabbing the IVF brochure and telling me the only way I'd ever have children was if I used donor eggs. So obviously that was quite devastating news, but because I'm a person of action, I went straight to the fertility clinic. Didn't even get a second opinion, didn't think of all those other health issues that I had before, that they, you know, what was the underlying issue for that. And I went to the clinic and got on a list for a donor egg, and we were lucky enough on the first fresh transfer to have our daughter, and she's 18 now. So 18 years ago, when you said donor egg, people looked at you with a blank stare. They didn't even know what that was. Even now, it's more common because we've got embryo adoption and embryo donation from a lot of the IVF procedures. There's little embryos waiting there, but it's still something that, you know, some people aren't really familiar with. And then we had two embryos left over, wanting to have the kids close together, and went back in there. It was super stressed out, wanted them, you know, kind of on a mission to have them close together, and then that didn't work. So went on a separate list for another donor, and we're lucky enough on that first transfer to have our son, and he's 15. So many years ago, and then after I had my daughter, I remember getting like 9 colds. Every cold went to a sinus infection. I thought it was a great idea to take antibiotics for every sinus infection. Completely destroyed all my beneficial gut bacteria. I had chronic bladder infections, was peeing blood, had chronic, the yeast infections were chronic, had vertigo and toenail infections and dandruff and high stress. And but I was still functioning, just my immune system was very low. And then at that time, I wanted to bring coaching into the corporate environment. So I took a life coaching course, and that's where I had my own personal wake-up call. Decided I really wanted to get into health and wellness, took the health coaching course. And then that's when I discovered I had these food sensitivities. So for me, when I took out dairy, gluten, and corn, lo and behold, the bladder, the sinus, the yeast, infections started to go away. And then a couple years after that, then I discovered I had a gut infection. So I did some stool testing, discovered I had streptococcus and fungal infection and H. pylori. So address those. And then also
Hold on, Sarah. Let's go a little slower so we give our listeners a chance to absorb all that information. So basically, you know, you were actually very involved in what I would call the mainstream medical model. I have been doing natural medicine since 1964, and that's why I wrote my book, Cycles of Life, which does explain all the natural interventions that you can do for balancing health, and it always involves gut health, like you said. So you were going along with the mainstream medical model of taking something like antibiotics for every infection without even investigating why were you getting all these infections.
Yeah, exactly. I just went to the doctor and they gave me antibiotics. I thought that was the only thing that I had to do.
So what made you become aware? Like, you talked about those tests that you got, but a conventional doctor won't ever do those tests.
Yeah, so that's why. So I did the life coaching course, then I did the health coaching course, and that's when I discovered I had the food sensitivities. And then that's when I went down the rabbit hole of the functional approach, so functional medicine, and really then discovered functional lab testing, so doing stool testing, and discovered I had those gut infections. I always thought I had a fungal overgrowth, but there's other things going in there, other bacterial infections and overgrowth of H. pylori, even though I didn't have any of the typical symptoms of H. pylori. And so then really address that. And you know, you can take that stool test, take it to your conventional doctor, and they may give you, if you have a parasite or bacteria, they may give you, you know, an anti-parasitic or an antibiotic. And really a lot of that will just, it'll address the infection, but then it just obliterates all the good and the bad bacteria. So then you need to then repopulate your gut afterwards. So we always take a low and slow approach that maintains the good bacteria in your body as well. It takes a little longer.
Well, Sarah, let me ask you this. What makes you say the word rabbit hole when you talk about, you know, it opened your eyes to functional medicine? Because very often, at least on the media lately, when they talk about rabbit hole, it's not a really positive association. So what made you use that particular term when talking about investigating holistic techniques?
Well, maybe that wasn't the best term then, but it really is, because I think if you don't know anything about the functional approach, and you know, I was stuck in the conventional medical model thinking that this was my only option. And so with this, like, once you discover it, it just goes on and on and on. You're like, what?
That is true. That is true. That's what I thought you
meant. It doesn't end. And you're like, have I been asleep my whole life? And then, you know, that's my, when I did my podcast called Get Pregnant Naturally, I want people to wake up to wait a minute, why are we all over here? The functional approach doesn't exclude the conventional model. And it's basically, it's looking at a round table approach where you have, in this case with fertility, you have your RE, you have your OBGYN, but you also have your nutritionist, your fertility coach, your acupuncturist, your chiro, the Seuss, like all of it, but you're in the center. And a lot of times especially with infertility, we go straight to the OBGYN, and then the referral is to the reproductive endocrinologist. And then we think, you know, our next step is fertility treatment. Whereas, you know, what is the body trying to tell us?
Yeah, it's a massive change. And I actually think going down a rabbit hole is a good analogy, because it's exactly that. I have been studying natural medicine since 1964, that's with a six, every single day, all day. And I've written 15 books. There is no end to the knowledge. And now the evidence is so incredible for what you're talking about on Fab Fertile and what they're talking about in the teachings of functional medicine, that really should be the training of all physicians, not only ones that are called natural or integrative. It is the science.
Yeah, we've got progressive thinking, you know, doctors that are done with, you know, just prescribing and want to actually prevent disease, moving to a functional medicine model. So, you know, it's a grassroots movement where basically it's patient driven, where people are sick of like, oh, wait, the only option you have for me is drugs? No, thank you.
And so, you know, who would lose if we move to a medical model where standard of practice, both in your field of expertise, which is fertility, or any other life event, if the medical model moved to being what we call functional, where we're doing advanced testing to find the cause, the interventions include food, herbs, nutrients, and of course the person has to be in control and change their actions. You know, like you had to change what you were eating. The doctor can't do that for you. So a lot of people don't want to do functional where it's up to them to make the changes. The doctor can't do it for them. That's the first step. But who would lose out if all of mainstream medicine moves to true evidence-based medicine?
I don't think anyone would lose out. Basically,
I do. I know for a fact it would be the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, well, big pharma, obviously, but yeah.
Well, that's the answer, however. that's really major, because how much less of that would you have used even with one person had you used the program that you now talk about in terms of functional fertility solutions?
Pardon? Sorry, I missed that.
So if you had used functional fertility solutions, how many less pharmaceuticals would you have used?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Huge. And that's just you. Mm-hmm. And that's just you. And that is really, because no more can mainstream medicine say that they are the evidence-based ones, because as you have found out in your deep in seeking and studying, that every single thing you're taught in the functional medical model is evidence-based. There are studies to support it, and there's better outcomes to support it, and there's less adverse effects to support it. And if you look at the money you spent on your even fertility interventions, wow, how many herbs and vitamins can you buy for that and healthy organic food?
Yeah, they actually published this year, 2019, in the Journal of American Medicine, talking about the efficacy of a functional approach for chronic disease and how it's more effective than the conventional model. So
stats, isn't that amazing? Yeah,
I mean, so prove it.
It is so proven. And people who do consult with you at Fab Fertile, I would imagine you have been, you know, happy to work with them as a coach and see the positive outcome of having a healthy baby without going through everything you did, or even if you do need to use some of those techniques, you can support your immune system through the process.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and this approach is not for everyone. So it is, if you think it's not going to work, it probably won't, because you're not going to do the work. So, but if you're nodding your head, yes, obviously people listening to your show are I would expect being converted to knowing, you know, the natural / functional approach is more effective. But if you think it's not for you, it probably isn't. And, you know, it might just be not the right time for you, but it is, because there is a level of you've got to commit and, you know, make an intention and do the changes.
Yeah. Look in your refrigerator. What kind of changes did you make initially?
Well, initially, the first thing I started to do was to change my diet. And people, you know, most people that come to see me, they would say they eat a clean diet. And I actually probably would have said the same thing. I want you to eat a clean diet. I have a healthy diet. But as you dig into it, so for me, it's, you know, I'm sensitive to dairy, gluten, and corn. And when I have those foods, it does not make me feel good. And it will, you know, flare up. For at the time was flaring up sinus and bladder and yeast. And once I removed those inflammatory foods, then the body began to heal. So, and I see this, you know, repeatedly with couples we work with. We start off by doing the elimination diet, have both partners do that, and taking out, which is the gold standard to figure out a food sensitivity. So taking out the top allergens, and then systematically reintroducing them over the course of 30 days. So you take them out for 10 days, which are dairy, gluten, soy, corn, peanuts, and eggs, and processed sugar. Take that out for 10 days, and then systematically reintroduce it and see exactly how food impacts your body. And most people that come to me are women, but it takes two to have a baby. And so we always recommend that both partners are in on this and are willing to make the changes. And if someone's saying, "Man, my partner doesn't want to do it," it's really, you know, first have the woman, or first have the it's typically the woman, have the woman to do the changes first, and when he's ready, he'll come along. But I'm coaching couples, so they really both need to be ready and willing to make the changes.
Well, also, of course, fertility doctors, even in conventional, when there's an issue with people having issues with getting pregnant, they do test the men as well for sperm quality, which is vastly impacted by things like pesticides and toxic chemicals.
That's right. Yeah, it used to be 60-40, 60% female factor infertility and 40% male, and now stats are showing it's more 50-50. So, you know, there's lots of things that both partners can do, and even though, and especially with unexplained infertility, to say that that's all with the female is just you're missing a whole other equation. So it is to look at both partners and, you know, healthy parents, healthy pregnancy, healthy baby. So there's really no negative, part of looking at your health and setting a strong foundation. And either you get pregnant naturally, or if you do go to the fertility clinic, you then will increase your success rate.
That's true. Now, that's a really good thing that you're bringing in, and a very integrative approach, that not only may you increase your success rate, you talked about in your personal story, Sarah, the fact that you got very worn out through that whole process, and it really interfered with your overall health and your immune health. And so that you found that it was really great to rebuild yourself by using these natural therapeutics. So if someone uses the natural therapeutics first, initially, to see if they can impact their fertility, which is often the case, so they don't have to go any further, or if they are going into more advanced conventional techniques, it supports their body against the side effects so that they feel much better after the process is over.
Yeah, there's a huge emotional toll with infertility. It impacts all aspects of your life, and really, to get honest
about that. That's very important. Yes, the body-mind connection. And what is that challenge like?
Yeah, to get honest about your mental emotional stress and realizing, first of all, that it is impacting all aspects of your life. And a lot of times we sort of do like a circle of life and say, you know, where are you on your joy or your spirituality? And a lot of times people on a scale of 1 to 10, their joy is down at a 2. They have like blocked off, you know, they can't, it's too painful to spend time with people that have children. It's too painful to be around their friends that are, you know, going to baby shower, or, you know, making a baby announcements or baby showers or having children. And so you've kind of cut off part of your life, and there's triggers everywhere. And so first of all, just to set some boundaries around that, and then also to recognize that, you know, you don't have to go to all those different things. And if you do feel it's putting extra stress on you, it's fine to do what feels right for you, to really lean into the self-care and to lean into what works for you. And because a lot of times on this journey, you could feel stuck as everyone else seemingly moves on with their life, and you're stuck in this struggle. And so depending on where you are, if you can't even visualize it working, then that might be time to get a therapist involved. But if you can still see it working, then you know, coaching can be helpful as well. So it is depending on where you are. If you've been through, I see, you know, a number of people that have been through multiple failed treatments, and they're like, if you've had miscarriage or loss and failed treatments and tens of thousands of dollars, you could just be in this dark hole. So we run a mindfulness fertility series where we really just start to have people, you know, work on the, you know, the mind body connection with fertility yoga, with looking at, you know, just even looking at your negative thoughts. A lot of times we don't know, we're saying, you know, this little repetitive loop in our mind saying it's not going to work. You know, I'm broken. I'm, you know, whatever loop is going around in your mind. So that piece of being able to reframe those thoughts and really having support with that. Also people get locked in in comparison, you know, what you look at them, and social media can be very, it can be helpful for people to be, you know, reach out to others, but it can also be a slippery slope of, you know, comparing what they have on their shiny profile and feeling less than.
So when someone comes to you, they I imagine fill out a questionnaire, and you see like where they might need some help. And what kind of tests would you recommend they get so that you can pinpoint what's going on with them?
Yeah, so we have them do their health history, and then we so the testing we look at it, we do food sensitivity testing. So we're looking at either the LEAP MRT food sensitivity test, looks at 200 foods and food chemicals. We're also now just started in the last 3 months or so to be using the test from Vibrant Wellness, which is a Zoomer bundle, and it really will dig deeper into wheat. So many people that come to us have done the conventional celiac tests, and that only tests for one protein in wheat. There's over 75. So there's a lot of false negatives. And even if you don't have celiac, you may have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So for you, gluten causes inflammation and a problem. And we see that quite a lot where people are highly sensitive to gluten. So the Vibrant Wellness Zoomer Bundle will really dig into, there's a wheat profile, there's a dairy profile, there's soy, and you can really dig into the finer pieces of each protein in those foods and really get a clear piece for that. And then having said that, there is no perfect food sensitivity test. The gold standard really is the elimination diet. And so the food sensitivity test can help us tweak it even further. So with the elimination diet, you can really feel how food impacts your body. You know, corn can make you flare up your asthma. Dairy can make you feel congested. Gluten can make you feel, digestive issues. So it's different for everyone. So everyone to do the elimination diet, both partners, and then tweak it with the food sensitivity test where we can just take out some of the inflammatory foods that people, you know, intolerant to. If they have a leaky gut, perhaps they could be intolerant to all their favorite foods. So the food sensitivity test comes up and it's like everything's lit up, all the things that you're eating, but you may have a gut infection, you may have other things going on that your body mounts an immune response to your favorite foods. So being able to really take those inflammatory foods out and the body starts to calm down, and then you can eventually bring some of the foods back. If you're really high on some of them, we wouldn't recommend those being brought in, but most people can bring in most of the foods back as you start to heal. So I do think the food piece is regularly missed and mistakes are made around food because people will say, oh, I took that out and I didn't feel anything. Or I'm gluten light or I'm dairy light. You know, I'm 90% there. But if your body is mounting an immune response to it, even a crumb of it coming in is causing inflammation. So you'll never really know how it's impacting you. So you've got to go 100%. So that means you do need to commit and do it properly.
Well, those are, yeah, and a lot of it is hidden. For instance, you mentioned corn. Corn is a major food allergen, and we'll talk about that when we get back, because we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and when we come back, we will resume our conversation with Sarah Clark, author of Fabulously Fertile, Supercharge Your Fertility Naturally, and her website is fabfertile.com. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the ancient Chinese science and art of acupuncture.
Acupuncture is a 5,000-year-old medical procedure involving insertion and manipulation of needles into specific points on the body. It is often applied to relieve pain during surgery and for many other conditions.
Acupuncture needles have been found in China that are over 4,000 years old. The first needles were made of stone. Later, bronze, gold, or silver was used, and today they are usually made from steel. Acupuncture was developed around the theory of special meridian points on the body connected to the internal organs, and that vital energy, or qi, flows along these meridians. According to this theory, diseases are caused by interrupted energy flow, and the stimulation of these points restores normal energy circulation. There is some scientific evidence of the existence of the meridians as a separate circulatory system. Studies were done in the 1970s by a Dr. Kim from Korea, where he injected radioactive dyes into the traditional acupuncture points. He observed migration of the dyes along the exact predicted path of the meridians.
Okay. How acupuncture works remains uncertain, but both Western and Eastern scientific studies on rabbits have shown that the analgesic effects are not simply a matter of suggestion. After the discovery in 1975 of endorphins, natural pain inhibitors in the body, Some neurophysiologists suggested that the needles may trigger the release of these substances. American and Chinese studies have confirmed that placing acupuncture needles in the brains of dogs raises the level of endorphins in the spinal fluid.
Acupuncture is used today in most hospitals in China and by many private practitioners in virtually every country in the world, including the United States. The primary use is for analgesia, although ulcers, hypertension, asthma, and other conditions have been documented to respond favorably to this treatment. Chinese surgeons prefer acupuncture to the use of drug-induced analgesia because they claim it does not disturb normal body physiology and therefore does not make the patient vulnerable to shock. Brain surgery is especially amenable to this form of analgesia when it is necessary to keep the patient awake during the operation.
Although some modifications in the practice of acupuncture have been made, such as sometimes using a small electric current on the needle instead of the traditional twirling, acupuncture remains intact as an ancient therapeutic technique that has been used successfully for at least 5,000 years. Perhaps you'd like to add this piece of knowledge to your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. Get in touch at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com. Probably easier to just go to naturalnurse.com because there we have our calendar of events. You can also sign up for a free newsletter. All you have to do is go to the bottom of the homepage, left-hand corner, and just put in your email, nothing else. We don't ask any other questions. Then if you visit calendar, you will see all the many classes and workshops that you can actually join in with. We have classes on ground where we go out and gather wild plants and make them into medicine, or we meet with you personally to discuss your needs in terms of transiting to a natural lifestyle. We also have lots of online classes which actually have CE credits for health professionals, as well as allowing anyone who would like to take them, and they do get a certificate for taking them, such as the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course, or when we have coming up one as well on fertility, which grants 3 CE credits to health professionals. So we have a lot of things going on. Of course, you can always visit Natural Nurse Books. We have written over 15 books, both regular hard copies, some of which are used as textbooks in medical schools, as well as many books that are ebooks, if you'd like that. And those are usually available both as a hard copy or an ebook. And then we have all our podcasts that you can listen to. And you can also listen to podcasts right through Progressive Radio Network at PRN.FM. So we have an amazing array of offerings. We love to hear from you and we like to get your comments. We also have FullScript. Now, FullScript provides the best top quality nutrients for anyone who would like to order them. And when you email us and request it, we will put you on that list so you can order any supplement that you want with a discount. So you can get in touch by email or phone or text or whatever you get there to request that you be put on the FullScript access, and then you can get any of your excellent supplements, high quality supplements that you'd like, and you do get a discount. So those are all different things that you can access through our website at naturalnurse.com. And today we have as our guest the author of Fabulously Fertile, Supercharge Your Fertility Naturally, Sarah Clark. And Sarah is a certified life coach and also with the International Coaches Federation and a health coach, where she trained at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and she became aware of how much information there is and how helpful it can be for someone. So you do all kinds of interventions and helping people along the way and health coaching, Sarah. So how do you start? Like, you did start to share with us that, first of all, you're thinking about couples. But I want to throw out, because I actually have friends who are single who decided they did not want to go through life without having a child, and they actually did go for various kinds of interventions where, you know, no man was involved, more or less, like artificial insemination and other actions, which even couples wind up doing as well. So even in that situation, but when you know you're going to be having all these medical interventions, you start with people with nutrition, which is a great way to start. And what is the next intervention that you work with them on?
Yeah, and we predominantly will coach couples. We are coaching singles if they're doing sperm donor, or even if they decide to do egg donor too, if they don't have a partner, or if they're doing embryo donation. So there's lots of different ways to do it, but predominantly couples. But yeah, so we start with nutrition, so diet, so customizing that for you based on the testing. And then the next one we do is we look at the hormones. So a lot of times people are looking at their hormones using blood. We're using the Dutch test, and that looks at your hormones using urine. So it's a cutting edge test, and really looking at your sex hormones, your cortisol levels, and your melatonin. So that tells us exactly where the pathways of where the hormones are going down, and then we can develop a protocol for that. So as part of my team, I work with a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. So she's the one that's reviewing the testing and then developing the protocol based on that. Then I'm helping them coach and make all the changes. Because a lot of times people may invest in some of these tests, but then that after you get the results of the test, that's where the rubber hits the road. You actually need to make the changes. So just, you know, and these tests can be expensive. So if you're investing in them, you need to make sure you're actually getting support to make the changes. So the Dutch test will really help us to then develop a protocol as to what's going on with your hormones. So that's a really powerful test. And then the next test we do is the GI MAP test. It looks at the DNA of your stool. So the majority of people we work with, there's something going on in the gut, be it a parasite. We have people with, you know, multiple parasites, bacterial infections, like Streptococcus, for instance, fungal infections, H. pylori. The GI MAP test will actually give us a good clue as if you have a high sensitivity to gluten. So it looks at the anti-gliadin. So if that is high, then we know that even if people are gluten-free and they're like, oh, I'm 100% gluten-free, there could be cross-reactors. So cross-reactors, there's a huge list of those, but for instance, it could be dairy or corn that people are, you know, eating this gluten-free diet. And then
let's look at corn there, Sarah, because, you know, at least wheat and soy, which is another extremely aggressive allergen, as well as being loaded with glyphosate, which causes cancer and should be avoided at all costs. But corn is not needed to be listed on the label. So I would say that's a really more dangerous hidden ingredient because it's very hard to find.
Yeah, I found corn and orange juice. It pops up everywhere, and people are, they will do the gluten-free side of things, and then they started to load up with corn, which is highly GMO. So basically, I think that's one that can be missed. So looking at the stool test,
Wait a minute. How did you find corn in orange juice, Sarah?
I know, craziness. Like cornstarch. Why is it there?
Oh, so you read a label.
There you go.
Orange juice, and they had cornstarch in as a thickener or an additional sweetener. Yeah. Who knows why?
Craziness.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it is. Yeah, you become a detective, right? You need to, instead of going to the grocery store and just whipping the stuff in your cart, you actually take time to read. So in the beginning, this takes time, and then you get to know. But you know, typically, better to eat things that are naturally gluten free, corn free. You know, our natural foods that don't contain these things. But it's not about, it is about being aware of how these foods impact your body. And that's why the elimination diet will really, really tell you how it impacts your body. So back to the stool test. So we do the stool test, and then we develop a protocol based on that. And then the last thing we do is the hair tissue mineral analysis test. We see a lot of people that are eating a beautiful, nutrient-dense, organic diet, but maybe they're well-fed, but they're undernourished. So you could be, and this was the case for me, eating a great diet, but my body was not absorbing the nutrients. I was on birth control for over 10 years, which then that impacts your body's ability to absorb nutrients. Plus, it predisposes you to food sensitivities and gut infections. So we see that quite regularly, where people come to us and they've been on long-term hormonal birth control. And when I ask them, why did you go on? Typically it wasn't for prevention. It was because they had irregular periods. They had PMS, they had acne, they had, you know, heavy periods. Something was going on with their cycle, and the first line of defense was, hey, let's go on, let's give you the pill. And then when they come off years later, now they're having issues with fertility. That's not the case for everyone, but people that come to see me, a high percentage of people have been on the pill. So that definitely is a clue. And then we're looking at your mineral status, just using clippings of your hair to see exactly, are you absorbing these beautiful foods that you're eating? And a lot of times we're finding that they aren't. And then you can make tweaks with diet as well as supplements. And then we develop a protocol based on those tests, and then help you implement them. And then also it's looking at, so the stressors in the body could be a gut infection, which you talked about, the food sensitivity we talked about, and the environmental toxins, which you were talking about there with glyphosate, and, you know, making sure that you're switching to an 100% organic diet. If that's too cost prohibitive, at least the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to allow you to say that, Sarah. I'm sorry. Cost prohibitive organic is not cost prohibitive. If you are working with people who are going to fertility specialists, that's not a consideration. What did you pay for your own children in terms of fertility specialists?
You know, these are things that I don't, when I say that, I'm 100% organic. I don't believe it is, but that is a common thing that people say.
Oh, it is such a, yes, I know.
Right. But yeah,
they'll bring to my office shopping bags full of nutritional supplements, most of which not only don't they need, but they're actually harmful. That's and right. I know they spent thousands on that. And they're going to tell me they can't buy an organic cabbage, which might be 50 cents a pound, instead of a conventional one, which might be 47 cents a pound. I mean, organic food is not so much more expensive for what you get.
Basically, yeah, look, I, you and I are converted. I'm talking to someone that may be like, wait a minute, I'm over here eating, even if you're eating a clean diet and you're not totally organic, making that switch in the beginning, it does take some time. So if for you, you're like, oh, wait,
right,
obviously going through fertility treatment, you're spending tens of thousands of dollars.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't make sense. Yes. But for someone who, a lot, like if someone is just new to this, Saying that, it might be, you know, it might be too much for them. I get an organic box.
It's true. So as an educator needs to deal with that particular pushback and misconception.
I completely agree. You know, cheap food is not good, and good food is not cheap. So it is to.
Now, I just want to say, I work also. There's a wonderful group, and you can join, and everyone can join. Perhaps you've heard of it, and it's Integrative Practitioners for the Underserved, and particularly deals with trying to bring these evidence-based best medicine techniques to those who truly cannot afford it. Now, there are people living on food stamps, and of course, unfortunately, at this point in time, their food stamps are being cut, which I can't understand, and they really are struggling, and they definitely do have food cost issues. But even those people, I can show them how to eat, you know, things like beans and organic brown rice and vegetable sautés, which you can feed six children for about $3 instead of buying the highly processed food. So it's, really never true that healthy eating is too expensive. You might not be able to have organic steaks. Okay. You can buy an organic chicken, though, for a dollar more, make chicken soup and rip it up.
Yeah, we've outsourced our cooking to the food industry, and that's why we're having issues. So it is bringing bringing it back into the house and home cooking. And in the long run, it's way cheaper. But there's preconceived notions out there, and that's why I said that comment.
That is true. That is true. You know, I agree with you. That is what you just said, that it's a misconception. And it's really a harmful, because it's something that people push back on. Well, we're going to take a little other break right now, and we're going to allow you to hear about other shows that we have right here on this wonderful station, which is Gary Null Station. There's also a button where you can donate so that you help other people hear all of this information. We are, by the way, the largest progressive radio, internet, and even probably on the radio as well, source for this kind of information. And we're just going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation with Sarah Clark, who has such great tips and is the author of Fabulously Fertile, Supercharge Your Fertility Naturally. You can find out more on her beautifully done website, fabfertile.com. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Not the right thing, only the real thing. PRN.FM.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, seeking understanding between faith traditions.
Americans and Westerners know very little about Islam, so it's easy to pick out a problematic verse from the scripture and then put it together with some heinous acts and then dismiss the entire religion as evil.
And an artist whose thoughts and work point to peace.
Art is everything we do in life. When we do it with grace, when we do it with harmony.
That's next time on Peace Talks Radio.
Hi, everybody. I am Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Join me every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch all of my shows in the archives. You can find my archive programs at the Progressive Radio Network website, or you can call my personal archive phone number to hear the most recent 5 episodes of It's All About Food. Here's the number, 1-701-719-0885. Here it is again, 1-701-719-0885. Learn about how we can solve many of the world's problems today and do it deliciously here on It's All About Food.
Does PRN inspire you? Does PRN make you want to learn more? Does PRN help you to see inside yourself, to be yourself, to grow, and to do? The truth is, we all need each other to be, to grow, and to do. So, we are asking that you check out the PRN.FM.
Thank you so much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we would love you to visit our website at naturalnurse.com. And also, you can visit the guest of our wonderful guest today, Sarah Clark. We're talking about fabfertile.com. You did a beautiful job on that website. It's so inviting.
Oh, thank you.
And also lots of information and easy to navigate. So that's great. And I imagine you have your podcast there as well.
That's right. Get Pregnant Naturally.
And that's a wonderful name for your focus. Now, you know, we're getting towards the end of our show, but I'd love you to go through one case, whatever one comes to mind, about somebody who came to you, what they did, and what the outcome was.
Well, this is an interesting one because she actually said at the beginning of it, she said, oh, I'll make a really good, great case study. And so she had been through a couple failed IVFs, and she, her AMH, or her anti-Müllerian hormone, was at 0.09, which basically she was told it was only donor eggs for her. So she'd come to the functional approach kind of as a last resort. So we did the testing, did the elimination diet, did the food sensitivity, the hormone, the stool and the hair. And for her, we discovered that she actually had multiple parasites, and as in she had probably six different parasites going on. She had a high sensitivity to gluten, which we found in the stool test. So her anti-gliadin was high. And then she had, for food sensitivities, she was, the Leap MRT that we used at the time, a lot of her favorite foods were she was intolerant to them. So she was very, very diligent. Like she made all the changes, and she also went to the autoimmune protocol diet. So after doing the elimination diet, she did the AIP diet, which is this, even taking that even further. So very diligent with that. And within 4 months, she got pregnant naturally.
Isn't that an exciting feeling? Love when that happens.
Like when someone was told, sorry, it'll never work. And then she had her little boy, last September. So
who told her it would never work?
Her RE. And a lot of the times
not everybody knows what an RE is. What is an RE?
So her reproductive endocrinologist told her, you know, with your AMH, so basically your ovarian reserve is that low that the only option for you is donor eggs. And a lot of times that, because it's a specialized, highly trained doctor, that information gets embedded in people's minds and they almost feel there's no hope. But for her, she was a researcher. She had a background in science, and she just saw the research and she just went and she made all the changes. Because sometimes people go off and they start there's self-doubt and self-sabotage and this is not going to work. But she followed the protocol and had her child. So it's really powerful. And we end up working with a lot of people in the medical profession that are dealing with infertility, because the medical profession there's a lot of high stress and trauma and things that people haven't worked through. So along with all the other food sensitivities and gut infections that people are dealing with. So we have to look at all of it. We're looking at the person as a whole and not just, oh, wait, here's what your blood work is telling you and it's game over. You've got to look at the whole body. And that's where, because a lot of times people get this myopic focus on the diagnosis and you miss all the healing opportunities.
So that was really fun, right? And I'm sure you've had that happen many times. Mm-hmm. Do you find that a lot of women now are kind of waiting to late 30s and 40s to begin this journey? And, you know, that's kind of late in terms of body chemistry.
Yeah, you know, we see people in early 30s or late 20s that have been trying for a number of years. So it is, you know, I had someone last week that contacted me and she was 50. You know, and at a certain point there is biology, right? And she was talking about celebrities that have been able to get pregnant at 50. And we don't really know the situation around celebrities and what exactly they've done. But to me, there's things you can do to prepare yourself, prepare your body for a baby. But obviously there has to be a certain point where then you need to kind of make the switch. But people are waiting longer. Women are waiting longer. They're establishing their careers and then, you know, in their early 40s, looking at having children. So obviously it's still possible in the early 40s. Just you need to then, there could be other things, high stress and the like, and it's really different for everyone. We have people that are 28 or 38, but there's each person's different. You need to see, you know, what has been missed and why isn't it working.
Right. It's a real individualized approach.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be ending, and I'd love you to just shout out where people can find you and any parting words of wisdom you'd love to share.
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on the Get Pregnant Naturally podcast. It's on iTunes and Spotify. And also there's a fertility diet freebie. So fertilitydietfreebie.com. And you can go there. There's a 3-day fertility diet that you and your partner can start right away. So it's free of fertility foods. And includes foods that are free of some of the top allergens. So that's a great place to start.
And, well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And
I
support you with your work. I know you're helping a lot of people and, you know, making it a really happy journey for them rather than a struggle. And I love the fact that you're integrative in that, yes, they can go see the modern medical model as well and be helped with your information to get through it a lot more unscathed and have a positive outcome either way. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Sarah.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. On PRN.fm, you can find back of many, 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 probably hundreds, maybe, I don't know how many hundreds, maybe 1,000 of our past shows. And we love to hear from you. Go to naturalnurse.com. So on behalf of myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Samperone, we're hoping that you stay healthy.